All right. We will now move on to Steve Jordan. Mr. Jordan.
Thank you very much. My presentation is on the CAP IDD waiver renewal. Kind of to lay some ground here, move on to the first slide, Jim. The waiver comes up for renewal every 5 years. So in doing this, it was we had to change. It was our time to renew it with CMS. The way we went about it was through a pretty elaborate process that started about 14 months ago with having work groups, with stakeholder input, having folks work on separate and independent service definitions, and then for as it went through the DMA process of going to the physicians advisory group, and then there was a 45-day comment period. It was brought back in. The comments were implemented into the revised document at that point. Then it was taken back through physicians advisory group, and then there was an additional 15-day comment period on that. What kind of drove us here is, well, let me back up. The way that the waiver works is there are certain capitation limits in regards to this. The upper limit for someone on the comprehensive waiver is $135,000 a year. On the supports waiver, which is a waiver that has a less intense level of services, the upper limit for that is $17,500 a year. When you look at the CAP waiver, some factors that led us to make some of the changes that we needed to make were we needed to have some alignment with some of the services with the innovations waiver. This is a waiver that will end as soon as an LME moves into the MCO environment. It is replaced with the innovations waiver for those consumers in that area. The next was to better meet the purposes of the waiver. We kind of do a little bit of a self-evaluation of what worked and what did not work, what goals do we have for ourselves in CMS in the waiver, and where did we stand on that, and then certain changes are made in the waiver to make sure that you're able to move forward. The next one is a duplication of the first one. We have 7,000 people on the waiting list, and our desire is, as we do these services, to free up and be able to serve as many as we possibly can of that group and stay identified. The last part of it is we had some cost overruns in CAP. Whenever I arrived here last September, one of the first conversations I had with the folks at DMA was, you're on a run rate to be $31 million over budget come June with the CAP waiver. We went through and did just some small things in the budget, in the services, through looking at utilization, through looking at different things, freezing cap slots, and eliminating emergency cap slots. And we were able to, over that period of time, end the year with only a $5 million over budget. So we took a 8% problem and turned it into roughly a 1% problem at the end of the year. The other thing that we factored into our decisions as we were writing the new waiver were looking at some of the impending rate cuts due to the budget that DMA was being given. Some of the changes to services are mainly the first is an expansion of personal care services for folks. And using the supports needs assessment profile, or the SNAP, based on their need, they qualify for different levels of personal care services on top of the habilitative services that are offered within the waiver. This is offered because to run habilitative goals 24 hours a day is just an impossible task, and if you tried to do it, individual receiving services would just, it's almost torture at that point. With personal care services, Additional personal care services may be approved if the participant's health and safety would be at risk in this case. And the justification to determine medical necessity for these things is required for additional hours. Augmentative communication, it was removed from the cap waiver. This is a situation to where subtraction actually is a positive. It's moved into the regular Medicaid portion that the recipient receives. And by doing that, it opened up the availability for folks on the waiting list that had augmentative communication needs that through CAP or through their medical, surgical, or primary care piece of Medicaid were able to receive that. In essence, this just became like a coding change. They're still conserved, and augmentative communication devices are still covered under specialized consultative services, which is the next dish, or excuse me, home modifications. The modifications were tweaked a bit. The modification has to be necessary to meet the needs of the participant that will help them prevent them from needing institutionalization. The next category in there is it must relate to the developmental disability affecting the individual. It can't be used for the convenience of the caregiver, and it may be used for fire and safety adaptations to the home for that person. Specialized equipment and supplies, it was removed. Again, this was where subtraction is addition. It allowed this to be part of the primary care piece of their Medicaid. And we added custom molded shoes, specialized walkers, gait trainers for adults, and bed rails in this. The next thing is supported employment. All recipients of supported employment are encouraged to receive an assessment from the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation before entering the workforce. This assessment is not required for supported employment or long-term vocational supports, but it is very helpful in meeting the utilization standards of qualifying them for this level of service. Participants need to show progress toward working in a competitive environment in this. And what we've put in this waiver is a 10% fading effect, where if you're being successful in the supported employment and the support is there and there's the transition of going from the support being a paid support of the worker to transitioning to where the employer becomes a natural support in this environment, we're looking at a fading of 10% a year. Once the individual has met the potential in supported employment to where that fading has taken place, then they have the eligibility of being moved over to long-term vocational supports with that. Some changes in habilitation. We made a reduction in the number of habilitative hours that an individual can receive in a monthly time frame. That drops from 172 hours to 129 hours a month. That is, in essence, a 10-hour reduction per week in services, and it equates down to right at or around about an hour and a half a day in the reduction of habilitation. But as I spoke to you earlier, there's the availability to replace that time with personal care services if those are justified. Hours don't roll over from month to month. You have to use them within that period of time. Or they're lost. Children attending school may receive 20 hours of habilitation a week in services. This is so that CAP and habilitative services are not a replacement for educational services that they're receiving. On school days, they may receive 7 days, or excuse me, 3 hours a day of habilitation. And if need be, there's justification to exceed that limit. this limit does not apply to adults who are in continuing education classes and programs. Changes in respite. Respite can no longer be billed on the same day as residential supports. Residential supports is a daily rate service, and the services or the care has already been paid for the entire day in that situation. In where there would be overnight respite, it works itself out as far as where they are at midnight and the head in the bed sort of counting of where they are. Nursing respite will not be available for services under CAP. Private duty nursing is supplied through the Medicaid state plan and is available in short-term acute situations to meet the and they have to meet the private duty nursing requirements. If they require ongoing private duty nursing in excess of 30 days, they're reevaluated on their level of care through the Murdoch Center and the process that goes with that. Crisis services. Crisis respite is to assist with unexpected and unique events and versus typical reoccurring behavior. Crisis service is not to be used to create a 2-to-1 staffing for an individual. This level of support should be used in the increased level of other services. Parents providing services. No services are allowed to be provided by a parent to a minor child. The personal care and home and community supports may be provided by parents who reside in the home with the adult recipient of services. And this next bullet point has changed in the last day. It tells you that participants, parents are not allowed to provide services over 40 hours a week. A revision that we have made to this is that there will be exceptions that are made around medical necessity, and there would have to be justification to show us that this is not increasing a seclusion or the availability for the person to go into the community. Thank you. Home supports will not be included as a service in the new waiver. The reasons for this change is that you were unable to provide respite on the same day as home supports, and this was a service that was paid on a daily rate per diem, just as the residential supports I spoke of earlier. And it led to the creation of situations similar to one-person group homes, where folks were not being able to get out into the community and being included in other services. It was not providing services in the spirit of what we had wanted the services to be. In some cases, it was limiting community involvement. In other parts, the parents were doing the service that looked more like self-direction. And I will speak more to self-direction in a few minutes because we have added that to the waiver, the comprehensive waiver. Our transition from home supports is that the person-centered plan revision will need to be submitted effective 11-1. That's in about 3 weeks. Other services may be requested at this time, such as adult day health, day supports, but family member cannot provide those services. The person-centered plan revision submitted needs to support the level of care requested. And again, home and community supports can only be provided up to an amount of 129 hours per month. Alternative services for home supports. There's the, like I spoke earlier, the ability to add more personal care services, to add home and community supports where home supports was, and that can be done. Family members whose adult child resides with them may provide 40 hours of approved services. I just stated the change to that one. in a situation where an adult child lives with his parents, each of the parents would be allowed to provide up to 40 hours worth of care to that individual. What I have here for you is kind of a breakdown of how the services would look. Typically, folks would be given 576 hours a year of respite. That comes out to about 48 hours a month or 2 days. Then the 129 hours a month of habilitation would be added to that. So at max, an individual would be able to receive up to 309 hours a month of services, or about 11 hours a day of care while in their home. Self-direction. What self-direction is, it's a practice and a philosophy whereby informed individuals are able to assess their needs, and they determine by whom their needs will be met, and they monitor the quality of services for themselves. This is for a parent who wants to, or a guardian who wants to, direct the services for their child themselves. They have to be connected with what is called an employer of record or a fiscal intermediary, to where they would basically recruit the individuals to work with their son or daughter, and then the agency would be the group that did the payroll and did the billing, and they would be responsible for the hiring and firing of these individuals. They get to provide have a selection of how the mixture of supports that they want for their child is given, and when the services, the timing of when those services come and go, what equipment and supplies that need to be bought, and from which supplier, store, and vendor that they would choose to buy these. The services under self-direction that you can use are personal care, respite, transportation, home and community supports, individual goods and services, individual non-paid caregiver training, long-term vocational supports, and supported employment. The anticipated benefit of this is that with the parent or guardian doing the direction and being able to choose whom they want and to develop that personal relationship with them, it should decrease staff turnover for those services. It would strengthen and sustain the natural supports, because you're giving the parent the ability to direct and to have a level of control and input. It reduces the movement of into facility-based services. And what has been found in other states that have done this is there's an increased satisfaction on the part of the parents and the recipients of care with those services. And with that, I've completed. And
any questions? Members? Looks like you answered all their questions, so we'll.
Thank you.
Chairman Dollar has a question.
Okay, I've always got a question. This isn't much of a question, but in terms of the, are you just now going to be implementing these self-directed services, and will this option move forward into the areas they're going to be under a BC waiver after, you know, the cap waiver is gone?
Yes, sir. I think they will be. That they are part of the innovations waiver.
So that's going to be, assuming this works out well here in North Carolina, that's going to be part of the innovations waiver statewide.
Yes.
Thank you.
Senator Tucker.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for Ken call on me. I'll try not to make this too long. The reduction in services, of course, is a reduction in cost. I'm sorry I had to step out about halfway through your presentation. Is that the motivation for the current lawsuit we face? is a reduction in services, and that's the motivation for that. And is this part of that?
Which
I'm getting the answer, no.
Secretary
Counselor.
Secretary Counselor.
No, this change in the waiver is not related to any lawsuit that I'm aware of. The lawsuit you're probably talking about, well, I've got about 200 lawsuits. But I know of none affiliated with this issue.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Seeing no further questions for Mr. Jordan, thank you.